and it's a great day here in the Midlands. It's even better now because we have staring at us here in the studio our good friend Miss Katie Greiner, who joins us from over at Oak Leaf Village in Lexington. We call this segment the Positive Points on Aging, and we do this every Tuesday from about 8:35 until 9 o'clock, where we have a chance to talk about different things that impact our senior community. And today we're going to talk about the denial of dementia.
Yes.
Tell me more, and good morning.
How are y'all this morning?
We are doing well, thank you. I appreciate you checking in and coming on in to see us and visiting with us, as
Absolutely.
Always. And I want to ask you, I mean, when you say denial of dementia, who is in denial?
So recently we've had a couple folks come in, and we have noticed that the family is a little confused or not understanding that their loved one has dementia, or
right.
when they got a little bit of memory loss is usually what a lot of folks will say when they come out
that
our
is
door.
Blatant denial.
Yeah. And then, yeah. you know, the little small things of families coming in also saying, well, most of the time she remembers. That's a scary word for us. So I've decided that this was probably needs to be a good topic for us to have,
right.
just because denial can be so dangerous
right.
in so many different ways. Perfect example is legal complications. Of course, everybody knows, and I'm sure Karen and Marcia in the past has preached about, you know, having a power of attorney and having things in place that you want to have. But for the folks that are brand new to being diagnosed with dementia, I'm not saying run out the front door immediately and go do this, but go ahead and be planning on that's going to have to happen.
Sure.
I think the biggest issue is that understanding what dementia is will give people the understanding of why the legal part of it is so important.
Sure.
The understanding that dementia is very hard, especially for a loved one, a spouse. We had a spouse come in the other day,
mm-hmm.
and she's asking for help and then turn around and saying that she doesn't need the help,
right.
all in the same sentence. So there's denial there.
Significant.
Big time.
Yeah.
And understandably so. When you decide that or when you're being told that your person has dementia, you're already thinking, well, we're having a normal conversation right now. Well, just because you're having a normal conversation right now doesn't mean in 2 seconds or
right.
a minute later that they're going to understand what they
there are some. And yeah. we're not breaking any secrets here. There are some very harsh realities
mm-hmm.
to what dementia does to a family,
oh, yeah.
what it does to an individual, but often it's worse on the people around that individual than it is on the individual.
Absolutely.
Because he or she is not fully aware of how difficult it is. And I mean, imagine if you've never known someone you loved with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to think about this. If you've never known someone that suffered from dementia, and you've basically been this person's child all your life, this has been your caregiver when you were a kid, this
right.
has been someone that raised you, this is someone that's loved you unconditionally,
mm-hmm.
and then one day you show up and this person doesn't know who you are?
Right.
Are you kidding me? You tell me that's not traumatic for you, that's not traumatic for everybody in your family, when the person that's been the matriarch or the patriarch of your
right.
family all of a sudden can't do menial tasks that we all take for granted. These are things that are the doses of reality. And this is part of what forces, I think, Katie, the denial, because people have a very hard time coming to terms with this reality, which
right.
is, once it's a reality, it's a reality. It's
right.
not like this is something where you can say, oh, well, we'll just flip this switch, change her environment
mm-hmm.
or put her on this med. If it's diagnosed properly,
right.
dementia doesn't go away.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the hard thing is for the folks coming in as well, as we've seen, is when they're a spouse, they've been married for 50 or 60 years, and that's a long time. And then all of a sudden they're worried that they're going to go to a negative cause, such as not remembering conversations, not remembering the past. Those things are detrimental to a family because they're so used to, oh, well, remember we went camping and we did X, Y, and Z. Well, I don't remember camping. I saw a family come in the other day, and he's then got to the point where he is nonverbal in his dementia. And so he can't communicate other than he reaches a hand over and maybe places a hand on his wife's arm. Or he just stares at you, and you can see it in his eyes. He's wanting to tell you something, but it's not there. And the family was very understanding that he has it, but denied that he really needed a lot of help.
I think what again, that's a good story to use as an example mm-hmm. of part of the reason why mm-hmm. we feel this denial mm-hmm. is because you like, I've known this man my whole life. Right. He's in there. I could tell he's in
I
there.
See.
He's just, there's something, there's something wrong. That's a symptom of dementia.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't mean that maybe he's not understanding some of the things, but the brain is the brain, and the brain right. is very complex. And when the brain doesn't send the, and I'm not trying to get into the science here,
right.
but when the brain doesn't send a message that allows you to verbalize or speak, or it loses the ability to do that, mm-hmm. that is part of the disease.
Right.
That is part of what dementia is. There are so many facets, and there's other things to understand. You know, we don't have a whole lot of time today to get into all the different forms right. of dementia.
Correct.
But there are so many different forms of dementia mm-hmm. and Alzheimer's that people are afflicted with.
Right.
And that's part of the problem, Katie, as you know, because you see it every day over at Oakleaf, mm-hmm. is sometimes it's very hard to diagnose at first
right.
which type of dementia somebody right. is experiencing. Because a lot of them kind of bleed over into one or the other
Absolutely.
Until there's more definitive
right.
Evidence of one kind.
Agreed.
But ultimately, again, we're going to talk more about how to deal with it
yep.
in just a little bit. But the first thing with so many things in life, not just dementia, but with so many things that are hardships in life, is acceptance
right.
and coming to terms with it. And once you've done that, mm-hmm. then, okay, this is what we're faced with,
right.
and this is what we're dealing with, and this is how we're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
And we could talk more about how you deal with it, but the denial aspect of it, mm-hmm. That's a huge stumbling block for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it causes arguments. It causes conflict within the family because one person may think that, oh, well, they're doing the right thing because they're doing a little bit here. The other family member sees that this loved one is at home with the stove that still can be turned on and turned off. The other family member looks at it as, well, oh, well, Daddy knows how to cut it off. Once they diagnose with dementia, then
right.
it's so difficult to know unless you are there with them
right.
24/7.
And there are things where, and again, I can only speak to it empirically from my own mom,
mm-hmm.
but there are things where we went over to mom's apartment and I'd find things, for example, I'd find food she warmed up in the microwave,
mm-hmm.
still sitting there the next day.
Right.
I'd find things that she tried to put on the stove,
right.
and I had unplugged the stove
right.
because I was done. She's
right.
not going to burn the place down.
Right.
And that was shortly before we made the decision that assisted living was necessary
Correct.
For mom. But the point I'm trying to make is that once you start seeing these signs,
mm-hmm.
you're putting a bullseye
right.
on her safety and the safety of others. Mom lives in an apartment.
Right.
God forbid she would have started a fire on the ground floor
right.
that would have trapped everybody else above her. I mean, thank God it didn't happen. No
right.
problems. Everything, you know, we got it taken care of. But that's my point
mm-hmm.
is that you're not just thinking about maybe if it's in their own house, that's great.
Right.
But there's so many other things in play
right.
that you got to be aware of when you start to see these signs.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that they're bad.
No.
You know, they're not bad. All of a sudden, you don't love your parent less.
Right.
If anything, it ups your compassion. It ups your care level.
Right.
It's sad, but mm-hmm. it ups your need to be more involved mm-hmm. in his or her or their lives.
Right.
So denial, once you get past that initial stage, then you could start forming a plan. But until you get there,
right.
that is a big stumbling block,
it's
isn't
hard.
It?
It's so yeah. hard. It's conversations that you can have with each other. You could talk about it, but it is educating yourself on dementia. Once you educate yourself on it, it gets to be
yeah.
a little easier.
And you know what? Another aspect of it is, we got a break coming in just a couple moments,
yep.
but you know what another hard aspect of it is?
What?
When you've got, oh, let's just do a general. There's three siblings that
oh,
are the kids.
Yeah.
Two of them maybe live local. One doesn't live local.
Right.
And you've got to convince the one that's not local
yep.
how much mom or dad is slipping.
Right.
And I just talked to her on the phone last week. She
was
fine. Exactly. So good. I'm glad you had a good lucid conversation with her.
Right.
But what you're not seeing is what we're seeing just from where she was 6 months ago to where she is today.
Right.
And that's hard when you get the siblings and you can't get the siblings, the children on the same page.
Yeah, that's tough.
That does make denial that much worse.
Right.
Stick around. More of the positive points on aging. We'll get into the positive side of it in just a moment.
With Kev. Back to the Bark Fireside Studio.
It's Mornings with Kev and Brian.
We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back in on The Point. 8:51 our time. Kev and Brian with you. Don't forget, it's Clear to Close coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with Erica and Mary Gervais. That'll be from 9 until 10 o'clock this morning. We'll always look forward to seeing our friends Mary Gervais and Erica. But we've got our friend Katie with us right now from over to Oakleaf Village in Lexington. It's our Positive Points on Aging, something we focus on every Tuesday from 8:35 to 9 o'clock. And we talk about different things that impact, and a lot of it is just sometimes a dose of reality.
Right.
You know, that's just the simple age and getting older is wonderful, and it's the golden years, but it's not always easy, and it obviously comes with our bodies breaking down. Our bodies are all finite in the sense that obviously everybody dies, but along the way, we start to break down. I mean, you should see what Brian's dealing with right now with his right calf. He can't even walk. He looks like he's 96 years old trying to walk around the studio, and it's just... You know what? We all get aches and pains and bruises, but it also affects the brain.
Right.
And when it affects the brain, it affects everything.
Right.
And when it's someone you love and someone that, oh, mom has always been the sharpest, you know, she answers all the questions on Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden starts slipping and you realize there's some dementia involved. It's very hard to come to terms with. It really is very hard to come to terms with. And, you know, we touched on this briefly last segment, Katie, but... Forget the fact of the mental aspect of it. You just got to make sure that their safety,
right?
That you're not putting someone you love or others in harm's way.
Right. I had a family one time, and this has been years ago, that they said, you know, they knew that their loved one had dementia. That was the reason they were going on the services that I was providing at the time. And they were like, well, you know, we let him drive down the road to go to the store because he knows where he's going. And then that was one of those, what do you mean you're letting him drive down the road? Well, he only goes to the town, and he's got four stores to, and they were allowing him to get into a vehicle and drive down the road. And, of course, that's safety for him, but then that's safety for everybody else around him.
Sure.
Because how does he remember to put the vehicle in park? Because we've had that conversation where they get behind the wheel, and
next thing you know, they've driven through the front plate of the drugstore.
Yes, so
I've been in that car. I've literally
been
in that car.
That's scary.
When Grandpa drove through the front glass, pane,
and that's scary.
That's,
and that could have harmed everybody in the building.
Yeah,
that could have harmed the people in the vehicle.
Sure.
And
but also just, I mean, again, and. This is not trying to be disrespectful, but you think that they know their way.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes
it
might be an easy drive on Tuesday.
Right.
But for some reason, then they're going back on Thursday and they get lost.
Right.
And how are you going to feel if they get lost and you don't have a way to locate? And next thing you know, you find out they're three towns over because they don't know how to they don't think I'm going to stop and call and ask my son how to get home or, hey, this just happened to me. Will you come get me? That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going
to
happen.
So the denial of letting them go where they want to go because they feel like they can do it, that's kind of scary as well. I had a family member that said they went out, they unplugged the battery so that way they couldn't just get in the vehicle and go. So they let them take the four-wheeler.
That's even worse.
So it was helmet, with a four-wheeler. They're just going to ride down
that
the road.
That is a form of denial.
It's big time denial.
You're just you're asking for so much trouble with that. And listen, the thing that you want to protect here is you want to protect your loved one's dignity.
Right.
You're not trying to take away their dignity and whatever independence is left. You don't want them to feel like a prisoner in their house, lock them in from the outside. I'm not saying that we want to take away everything that they've considered their freedoms, but you got to pick your battles because you don't get second chances a lot of times when somebody with dementia gets behind the wheel and my goodness, you're the one that gives mom permission to go drive to the store and you find out that mom hits the 6-year-old on the kid's bike on the way home from school and hits a child on do you want that on you?
Want
that on you because you said, yeah, she's fine.
Right.
No, your sibling said, no, I don't think we should let her drive anymore. You said, it's just the store. She's fine.
Right.
Really, don't worry about it.
Right.
And the next thing you know, and again, heaven forbid this happened, but it does happen.
It does happen, unfortunately.
Okay, you know, I see that light changing to red, but my brain is not telling me that I need to stop with that.
Right.
I'm thinking something's going on. my brain's not telling me that.
Right.
Wait a second. Do I push this pedal or do I push that pedal? Mm-hmm. Okay. When we're talking about dementia, we are talking about those type of functions,
right.
Not what you and I consider second nature.
Right.
That's no longer second nature.
They lose that quick response.
Right.
They lose it. That's one thing that definitely happens.
Yeah. You just, you don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go there.
And we talked about, you touched a little bit about the food and the nutrition part of it. You know, your parents put stuff in the microwave, then they forget to eat it.
Right.
Things like that. They definitely do that. So you're thinking that they're living on their own. They'll be okay. I've gotten their microwave dinners in their freezer. They know how to use the microwave. Okay. But do they remember to take the plastic foil off?
The tin foil, the metal. Yeah.
The metal stuff. The little things like that. Okay, you unplug the stove. Right. That's great and wonderful. But can they still function a microwave?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, she's fine with those.
There's other things. You know, mom loved to light candles.
Yes.
You know, and loved to light candles. And we had to go and switch her to a battery-operated mm-hmm. one that still kind of burned the smell and gave
right.
you the smell of it. But it didn't have any
right.
dangers involved because there was no lit
right.
a candle that could have been left alone or knocked over, mm-hmm. or there are so many little things that you take for granted that we talked about this last week a little bit without being disrespectful about baby proofing the house,
right?
And you need to dementia proof the house,
right?
If you're going to let a loved one stay in a house
right.
that's dealing with dementia, you've got to dementia proof the house,
right?
I don't know how you do that if that person's mm-hmm. alone.
Right.
I don't know how you let somebody with dementia that is alone stay alone.
Right. We had a family come in a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about, you know, the dementia that their loved one was having. So they were having an argument at the table with us there. And, you know, Karen and I are not good at battling arguments between,
moderators. It's not your job to do that.
So a lot of times what we're trying to tell families, too, is once they get diagnosed with dementia, have those conversations with other healthcare professionals,
sure,
not necessarily
sure.
in front of Karen and I,
right,
but, you know,
right.
we can help guide you a
sure.
little bit, but maybe you need to sit down and talk with a mutual friend and then have that person help with each other. Go and speak with a physician. Sit down and have a conversation. Find a therapist to talk
right.
to. That may be somebody good, a church group.
Karen has talked so much about this,
yes.
Katie, about getting into support groups.
Yes.
She is such a believer, and I concur, such
Me
a believer in support groups because there's nothing that helps you better than
mm-hmm.
sitting next to someone who knows exactly
right.
what you're going through because their parent is going through the same
right.
thing your parent is going through.
They've been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Exactly, yeah.
A couple
exactly.
of t-shirts.
Yeah, unfortunately. So listen, just ultimately, sometimes you got to take a look in the mirror and you got to realize
right.
this is going on whether I like it or not,
mm-hmm.
and you need to show dignity to the person you love, but at the same time, you have to become the parent and they become the child.
Right.
It's not an easy thing to do, but it is the circle of life.
Right.
And it does happen. If people are interested in learning more about this or other things, how do they find you?
They can call us at 803-808-3477, or they can look us up online at oakleyvillagelexington.com.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Well done, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Enjoy yourself today. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you.
We'll catch up with you again next week.
Want
to remind everybody, Clear to Close coming up next with Erica and Mary Gervais. Big show this afternoon on the Afternoon Drive. Some good guests. And for Katie and for Brian, I'm Kev. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Mornings with Kev.